Okay, right. So yesterday we talked about defining things subjectively, objectively, societally as produce that has as kedushat shvi'it. We're going to sharpen this after we finish this halacha. Before we go to halacha bet, we're going to look for a little bit in the Bavli, where we're going to see that there is a stira that the Bavli itself addresses as to whether wood has kedushat shvi'it. So we will go to that, but for the moment. The assumption of the Mishnah, there are things which are definitely kedushat shvi'it, things which are definitely not, things that are in between. And we dealt with food for animals, food for people. Okay, and then we tested the sugya against each theory of mitzvah of achilat peret shvi'it, right? That's what we're up to. So now the Gemara asks, "Ochle behema, ma'u la'asod mehen sivuin la'adam." Okay. Okay. Right. So we established in the previous one that we can use it for human. We can use animal feed for human medicine. So now it wants to know whether you can use it as a dye. So the Gemara says, at first glance, the Gemara says, obviously you can. Why? Ma im ochle adam she'ein osin mehen milugma la'adam, osin mehen sibuim la'adam, ochle behema she'osin mehen milugma la'adam, lo kol she'kein she'osin mehen tzva'im la'adam. So the Gemara says, wait a second. We've established that when it comes to human food, are you allowed to use food that's kadosh with kedushat shvi'it for human beings to make dyes? Yes. Are you allowed to use it for medicine? No. Animal food, are you allowed to use it for human medicine? Yes. So the Gemara says, right? So good. So you tell me, right? What would have been the hav amina to say that you can't?
That if we don't allow medicine to be made out of it.
No, but we do allow medicine to be made from animal food.
Oh,
Right, why? Right, I mean, the Gemara ends up saying, yeah, it's obvious you can use it. But what's like the quasi havamina in the back of the mind of the Gemara of why you would say that you can't?
It's a higher level than medicine.
But then you have.
And if medicine, you can't.
Right, but the Gemara says you already can use human food, meaning human food can be made to dye, because dye, unlike medicine, seems to be considered Hana'a, right? Because one of the things we're going to try to figure out in this whole sugya, right? We haven't done it yet, but this is going to be.
It's closer to the criminal way of consumption or maximizing.
Right, so the. Right, so what it might have been, right? Yeah, but okay, no, but so it's closer to maximizing. No, but even for human food, which has higher standards, you're allowed to use it for a diet. So why would you have a hama mina you can't for animal food, right? Which is lower standards to begin with, which is in fact what more answers, right? What's like the creeping hama mina in the background? So you might think that, except by human food, you can't use it for medicine, right? So apparently, we don't have that either. Yes, but okay. So why do you have a hava mina that it works for medicine, but doesn't work for dyes?
Apparently, for some reason, dyes has having dyes has a way of maximizing enough. I don't know. Maybe we're
fine, but you're allowed. I don't.
But
Correct. So why
for
shouldn't
animals,
you?
But for animals don't care about it.
Okay, right. So I think that's the hava mina, right? The hava mina. Right? Right, so I don't want to spend too much time because I don't think there's that much here. Except I do think that the Hava Mina is that you might have thought that you judge the maximalization, that's a word, right, of Peirot Shviit from each tract by itself. And therefore, as Mordechai says, look, you might say human food, so as we already saw when we were dealing with Hanukkah candles, right, food for the purpose of Shemitah is much more expansive, and we're going to get to it. Right, this is halacha aleph and bet are about this. Right, which is achila is mutter, but so is sicha, and so is hadlaka. Right, meaning the definition of consumption for the purpose of Peret Shviit is wider. Okay, but you might have thought, as Mordechai said, that each tract has its own maximalization. Therefore, human beings, they care about dyes. Right? How do we know that we care about dyes? Tireh, right? Right? Our clothes are shockingly not, the off-white of processed cotton and the slightly yellowy off-white of wool or whatever other fabrics you people are wearing, right? Polyester. I don't know what color is polyester in its natural form. I have no idea. I don't know. Do you know, Copian?
Remy, the cauliflower would help with.
One second. No. I'm talking about the Havamina that is immediately rejected. One second. So then you might say, listen, each thing has to be maximized on its own track, right? And therefore, listen, human beings care about dyes, so that, to use it for a dye, something that's meant for a dye, that is one of the maximum, right? That is one of the ways of squeezing the maximum utility out of it. But you might have thought that, one second, right? I'm just, like, spell the Havamina that Mordechai is spelling out. But you might have thought, therefore, that for animal food, listen, animals don't care. I mean, I know, I get it. Fancy people give their little poodles, sweaters. But let's all be, I hope we can all agree that that's ridiculous. Maybe we can't. I don't know. Maybe some of you, and if some of you have a dog and you dress them up in fancy clothes, then I apologize. Do you? Fine. I take it back. Josh does not agree with me. Josh thinks that his
animal...
Oh, okay, very good. But the Gemara immediately rejects this and says, "My pitam, what are you talking about?" Right? The Kal Vachomer shows that it's not the case. Okay, good. So you could just say, "Well, it's a Kal Vachomer," but there's a logic to the Kal Vachomer, and it's not just a Kal Vachomer. What is the logic? It's pretty simple. I think it's based on what we said yesterday. What? It's a very good question, but there's a very simple response here, right? What's the point? Remember, what did we say, right? What is the hava mina that you can't use it for dyes, that you have to judge animal food on one track and human feed on the other track, right? And therefore, just because it's maximizing its utility from the human perspective, because human beings care what color clothes they're in, animals don't. Maybe their owners do, okay? But the animals don't. I'm sorry. Okay, there you go. Okay? Right? There I go. Okay? The animals themselves, they don't want our clothes, and they do. They don't think they care what color it is. Right? Very good. Thank you. Mordechai's... I was going to say, right, what do we leave off with yesterday? What do we leave off with yesterday that makes it that this Havamina is impossible? Remember the Rosh Terilia? What is the Rosh Terilia's argument? That why is it mutter to use ochle behema for melugma d'adam? Because really there's only... Because there's... Exactly, right? The Rosh Terilia said, you're misunderstanding it. It's not there's just two separate tracks, right? There's one track. It's called benefiting for human beings in the maximized way. Right? Human food, what's the way of maximizing it? Eating it or anything which...
But I get to see my dog in a cute little sweater.
Right? And therefore that includes, right, and that includes burning and sikha and whatever, right? An animal food which to begin with is lower level, so what did he say? How do you read the sugya? That animal food has two ways that it could help human beings. Either by benefiting human beings in a B-level way, right, which is medicine, right, or by benefiting the animals, which will in turn benefit the people, so maximizing for the animals, which are two separate moves from people, right, but according to that, right, Ochle Behema, right, it's not a separate track. What is it? Right, it's a secondary way of benefiting men, but there's really only one standard. Now, once it's one standard, what can you do that you can't if it's two standards? Make a Kal Vachomer. Right? Right, you can't make a Kal Vachomer from two separate tracks. Right? Right, you can't. So, right? For example, right? You couldn't say, a lion is stronger than a fish, and therefore the lion can obviously breathe underwater. Right? Right? I'm saying, like, right? Those are not the same, right? You don't make a kalva homer like that, because one of them is on the strength axis, and one of them is on the, right, breathing underwater axis, and those are not related, right? So if you thought of human food is one avenue of ether, and animal food is another avenue of ether, so maybe they might have things which are not subject to kalva homers, right? Because they're just functioning on different planes. But what we saw yesterday from the Rosh Derilia, which is why the Gemara immediately rejects this possibility, is no, they're functioning on the same plane. Well, there is an Havamina. That's exactly the point. The Gemara, it's basically one of, right, meaning I would say here that there's not even a real Havamina, because the Gemara seems to, right, meaning the Gemara seems to not really believe that there should have been a Havamina at all. But as you have probably learned this year, if you haven't, now is the time to learn. Sometimes people ask questions that, had they thought about it for a second, shouldn't have been a Havamina. That doesn't mean that it's not. Based on this bingo you just sent me, I think apparently that this is a common, correct, Chaim? Right? Right? Based on the bingo you sent me, apparently people sometimes ask questions that are ridiculous that shouldn't be questions. Right? I'm not saying you, but apparently that's a common enough phenomenon. Okay. Yes, exactly. No question is a bad question except for the bad ones. Very good. Thank you.
So, right, Bidya. It doesn't seem like it's saying
there's a halakha. No, Nachami, but I that's why I'm saying, like, the quasi halakha, like, the reason someone might even ask the question, right? Right, meaning there's enough of a havamina that someone asked the question, but the Gemara immediately rejects it. But I think the reason is because once you think that maximizing benefit is along a single axis, right, is it? And human, right? And human benefit is up here. And animal benefit is down here, right? So the whatever is good, whatever counts as maximizing even for food meant for humans, right, which is the most demanding standard, then it's definitely going to be something underneath. But all you need, the only move you need to do to get there is to just clarify, right, that there's one standard, right, or one spectrum of right? It's on one spectrum, okay? It's on one plane, one axis, okay? Yeah. Fine. That's all I think you need to know to understand the kalva chomer, right? Because you're right, the kalva chomer is obvious. The only reason the kalva chomer isn't obvious is for a moment you thought they were functioning in different planes, right? Because then they just, right? You have mindless, I have mindless. You have concerns, I have concerns.
I would think you might care about what you would have thought for like a second.
Because somebody asked, I don't know. Okay? When they were sitting in Yerushalmi, when they were sitting in...
Why is everyone just sitting straight up below us?
Exactly. And the answer is, I don't know, they were sitting there in Shir, and someone said, I have Akasha! And they're always at you again. You have a question again. Okay.
Sir, again. We're going to kick him out.
Exactly, right? We know that there were frustrating people.
Stop.
Right? We know that there were people like that. Yeah, I mean, yes. Right? Meaning the Gemara is quite clear about that. It is a wonderful Gemara. And for those who didn't catch Josh's reference, there's a Gemara in Bava Basra Chaf Aleph, where Rabbi Yirmiyah, who has a tendency to ask questions like this, the Gemara there is talking about what happens if you find a dove within 50 amot of the dove coat or beyond 50 amot. If it's within 50 amot, so then you assume that it belongs to the owner. And if it's beyond 50 amot, you assume it came from the world and it's hefker.
So what if
right? So Rabbi Yirmiyah then says, what if one foot is in 50 amot and one is in? And then the Gemara doesn't respond. It just says, Alha afkul or Birmiel Beit Midrash. For that question, they kick Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the Beit Midrash. Right? There have always been people who ask questions. What? Yeah. Thank you. Right? So there have always been people who ask questions like this. What? Is it in Brachot? Is it in Shviat? No. But if you would like, I can give you an Agadah Tashir, a very good Agadah Tashir to listen to, okay? On that. Right. Ozer Glickman, who, Zichrono Levracha, used to be a Rosh Yeshiva at YU, has an excellent shir on that Agadah and Rabbi Yirmiyah's personality throughout Shas. Yes, he was. I think he was by far the most interesting Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He had two lives. He was a Rosh Yeshiva and a options trader and like the and consultant to like the international, like the IMF or something, right? Like, right, Glickman. He had two identities. Ozer Glickman is the Rosh Yeshiva, and Tony Glickman is the as the. I need to find it, but yes, I listened to it many years ago. I will try to find it. Okay. So Reich Glickman has this year where he argues he's not trying to be facetious, that this is actually a principle.
He always asks the what if questions.
No, it's not the what if questions. He argues that it's more. It's about formality, and it's about the detailed, neurotic, detail oriented measurings. And anyways, it's a very good show. Annoying. Very annoying. Right, okay, fine. My point is that there's always been people in here like that. Okay, look, this happens, that's not the weirdest, right? There's the other, right, there are the Gemaras about how they always, that, right, Reb Zera believed you weren't supposed to laugh, and therefore the Gemara tells about people who would constantly try to make him laugh. This was like the competition in the Beis Medrash, is could you get him to laugh? And they never could, right? I'm saying, like, okay, like, the Gemara, there are personalities in the Gemara, right? And then, you don't understand, right? Until you realize Gemara, you don't realize there's humor. It's like, for the end of Huriot, right, they kicked people out of Beis Medrash for trying to undermine and embarrass the Rosh Yeshiva because they didn't like him, right? They thought, well, correct. But then the Gemara, yes, the beginning of the Gemara makes sense. The second half of the Gemara is, but those Talmidim were the best in the Shir, so they were out of the Beis Medrash because people still had questions for them, so they communicated by paper airplane, right? They threw papers through the window in and out. Okay, I don't know if it was an airplane. I don't know if it was a ball that got crumpled. I don't know if they floated it. I don't know, okay? Fine, I imagine it is paper airplanes. Look, if I can figure out how to make a paper airplane, presumably Reb Meir also could figure out how to make a paper airplane. Is it possible that he was lazy and he just crumbled up in a piece of paper and threw it through the window? Yecholiot, I don't know. Papyrus airplanes, okay? I don't know. Okay, it presumably wasn't clay. I'll tell you what it probably wasn't, Zach. It probably wasn't clay tablet airplanes. Because I think, okay. Okay. Fine.
So then the Gemara says.
Honestly, the Gemara says, "Mine lelugmot, ma'o." So now the Gemara says, okay, let's flip it. What about plants that are meant to be used for refuah? Can they be used for dyes? What's the shaila? Again, very simple. Again, this is not like super complicated. I wanted to go through this because I want you to see how with the Gemara, right? Sometimes there's like earth shattering, right? Like questions in the Gemara. And sometimes what you see in the Gemara is simply they're going step by step and sharpening every so slightly the central thesis, right? So what's the Shaila? No. Right, it's something which is usable not for food but only for medicine. Right? Can it be used? Very good, right? Meaning, or as the Rashi really just says, "Mi havi kamo lehefser lo." Meaning, is it maximizing its utility, which, as we said, is the standard. Now, you could have asked it. You could say it's different, right? That's one way. The other way would be to say, if something isn't ra'i for food at all, it's only ra'i for medicine. Does it get to do shachvi'it? Such that it has limitations. Right? That would be the other way to answer the question, right? Which is, it could, right? Okay. So the Gemara says, well, ma'im ochle adam she'eno sin men mulug mul adam osim en saban ladam yine mulug mod osim en lug ladam kol shegen shetasim en tved ladam. So the Gemara says, well, it's obvious, isn't it? Making something a dye is considered maximizing. How do I know it's considered maximizing it? Because even human food, which has a very high standard for what counts as maximizing its utility, is allowed to be made into dye, which means that dye is equivalent to food, which is at the top of the hierarchy, right? So obviously, you can. Right? Obviously, you can. Because if dye is equivalent to human food, meaning even human food is allowed to be made into human dye, that means that dying, for whatever reason, right? Again, what is the question that should be, that all of you should be asking yourselves at this point, which is really the subject of halacha bet. Right? It's not halacha, it's halacha bet. Right? Which is, wait a second, I thought food. Why is it that all these different things are equivalent to eating? Right? That's halacha bet. I want you to understand where halacha bet comes from. Right? Meaning, halacha aleph flows into halacha bet very logically, which is halacha aleph sets it out, but and is fleshing out some of the details of what counts as maximizing utility. But halacha bet says, and what does it mean to maximize utility? Because you might have thought it's only food. Kamash Malan, it's not only food. And correct, right? And but as you look, if you want to go ahead, just remember, right? Just if you jump ahead to halacha bet just for a second, we're going to get to it very soon, right? I mean, not today, but right. But the Gemara, but the second Mishnah. Remember, what is the whole point of the second Mishnah? That achila is more expansive. Achila, shkia, sicha, right? Again, we're going to have to see exactly what's included in that. But the whole point of the second Mishnah is that your assumption that achila is alone, either because achila is expansive. Remember, remember I told you halakha shviat is going to get you some of the questions. We're really doing it backwards. But that really was Rosh Hashanah's question, right? Is halakha a subset of achila, or does that tell you that you can maximize utility in different avenues, right? But that's the second Mishnah, right?
Yeah, but dying is in the parak of a Purda. That's where it comes up.
Dying is in the...
seventh parak.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the main story is in the seventh parak.
So that means it's about a Purda, no? The seventh parak is about a Purda.
It's not about a Purda, it's about Kedusha.
Yeah. So I'm talking about the... I thought we're going back to the seventh.
We are.
Because it's about a Purda.
Not a Purda, Kedusha. No, we're going to go back to Avoda, you mean Malacha.
Yeah.
Avoda is by Karbana.
Yeah.
No. Malacha. No. Malacha is earlier than that. We're going to.
Earlier? I thought it was seventh.
No, seventh. The seventh is also important, but it's not that.
So, which one was Malacha? I thought you said we're doing
second,
the...
third, fourth.
I thought you were saying that seventh is Malacha.
No.
Eight is Achila, and we're doing eight.
No. Seven and eight is Achila. Seven is more Kedusha a little bit, right? The earlier Prakim were about Malacha. We're going to do. We'll definitely do some Malacha. Okay, anyways. Fine. So the yeah. So no, because it's something. So maybe that's the quasi havamina, right? Which is maybe something which is really planted for medicine. Its maximal utility is medicine. Kamash Malan, that's not true, right? There is a certain hierarchy, right? Things have multiple purposes, right? And something can be used for its maximal. Not maximal, yeah, there's something that's normally used for medicine, but still, it's objectively, halachically, it is better to use it for tzafa, for doing tzafa as dye. Well, so maybe that was the halamina, but the answer is clearly not, right? The Gemara is telling you, because the Gemara clearly assumes that that's not the case. Now, again, look, you've got to remember, there is a certain, I mean, again, you got to, it's not true. There's many. No, you. We all understand. There's certain things that.
Medicine's very important.
It is, but we all understand there's certain things that you would consume as medicine, from even though under normal circumstances you would never come near it, right? No, but think about it. There are things that you would never use, right? If it weren't because you needed it medically, you wouldn't touch it, right? I think that's part of the logic here, right? Is that you, medicine, as much as it's important.
Well,
think about it. You wouldn't have mold. You wouldn't eat mold, right? You don't eat mold, Stom, but if it's penicillin, you do. But if you're not, you don't need it. Then it might be ochel. No. So in halacha, sometimes we have that, which is that medicine, right? That medicine, if it tastes good or it's healthy and normal people would eat it, just as medicinal properties, we call it machal bria. It's not called medicine. Medicine is the type of thing that someone who's healthy, in halacha, something which is medicine is that which a healthy person wouldn't eat. Right? Exactly. So, like, right, if someone has scurvy, I know that's the disease you're all facing. Right? If someone had scurvy, right? So the doctor might say, have orange juice, right? Because it's a vitamin C deficiency. But many people drink orange juice, right? So it's not medicine, even though for the guy with scurvy, it's functioning as medicine. It's halachically Michael Bria, right? As opposed to castor oil, right?
Oh,
okay. Right? I don't know. That's like the example of all old smart, right? Castor oil, because that's what you used to use. I don't think anyone uses castor oil anymore.
It's only used for medicine. The normal person would eat it, and then they just eat it. Because I think that the idea is just if they go for it, not eating it the right way.
Possibly.
Even though it's maximizing, if they're getting some sort of nutrients from it.
Possibly. Possibly. We'll see. Okay, so my mochle adam shenos men lo kol adam osim men tzavan lo adam minim lo kol osim men lo kol adam lo kol shekin shetas men tzavan lo adam. Okay, so the Gemara says lo tzarcha dilo ochle behem amau lasad men tzavan lo behem. So now the Gemara says, okay, fine, I have an actual shayla now, right? Which is, right, 26 minutes into share. We have an actual shayla that the Gemara assumes is not on its face stupid. Right? Which is what? Can you take animal food and make it into animal dyes for Josh's dog's Purim costume? Okay? What's the Shiloh? What's the Shiloh? You tell me, what's the Shiloh?
It's even lower, it's not maximum, it's even lower level because the dog, you're not getting benefit from it, the dog isn't getting benefit.
Right, so what's the law? Well, so you might say, listen, right? You might say, listen. I think I could say you could see different formulations here, right? One would be, listen, the fact that human food can be made into human dye shows that dye is equivalent to achila. So if dye is equivalent to achila,
then by
an animal it should be as well, right? That would be one side. Or you could say, right? Or you could say, no. Maybe dye is slightly under food, but not enough to aser it, right? But by animal it is. I don't know. Right? Or you could say what? No. What makes it that for a human being, making something to dye is considered maximizing? Because human beings care about the colors of their clothes. Green and gray and blue, green, white, whatever, right? Whatever people are wearing. We're all very exciting colors here. Variations on, right? No one here is wearing a pink. Yes, I'm wearing the most life. I have purple, right? Look at that. Everyone else, pink yesterday, whatever, right? So you could say, right? No, right? Maybe you might, because if you say, listen, dying is equivalent to eating. So then if human food can be made into human dye, then animal food can be made into animal dye, right? But if you say that, no, it's not that dying equals eating. What is it? That for people who care about the color of their clothing, dyeing is maximizing the utility. It's just a different way of maximizing, right? But animals who don't care about their clothes, I'm sorry, mechila, but your dog doesn't care if it's in a hot dog thing or not. Maybe your dog does. Most dogs don't. Your dog is special. Right, so maybe... What?
There are, because
when my dog is here, they have, dogs. Oh, we're talking plural now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have a coat to calm them down. Or something, like a soft coat. Like a thick, heavy, soft coat.
Wow.
He's from Kuwait.
So they care about color.
He's arrested from Kuwait. He thinks it's a bomb going off every 10 years.
They don't care what color it is, Josh. They're practically colorblind anyway. Yeah.
They're definitely red. Like, most dogs are red.
Okay, so good. So therefore, so you might say, but if what makes it that Sviya is mutter is not that it's equivalent to achila, but that for people it is considered maximizing because human beings care about dyes, and what, for an animal, you would say, well, animals don't care. Okay? Right, and right, very good. According to the Rosh Shirili, you might say, listen, right? I mean, yeah. So the thing where it says, kimadat amar, but ochle adam, shein osin man meluglo adam, osin man savan lo adam. Utikavote, Oflamema, Shirozaman, Lugmalahema, Nasamian, Savoin, Libahema. He says, no, right? It simply is. It's not about, right? The Gemara's answer seems to be, right? At least in this question, is what? No, this isn't about how animals relate to it. It's just what's higher up on the hierarchy, right? Right, and Seva is high up on the hierarchy, but he says, you know what? Because Chami might not be make you might not be able to make it into animal medicine, because that would be lower on the hierarchy, right?
How do you know what the hierarchy is?
It doesn't depend on how you relate to it. Wait, no. So then the Gemara pushes away, right? The Gemara doesn't conclude this way, but that's Gemara's right. Then the Gemara says, What does the Gemara then say?
According to that, how do you define the hierarchy?
Food, no, human seva.
How do they know that? How do they know that that's the hierarchy?
That's, I think, part of the problem. The Gemara is like just assuming it, right? So then the Gemara rejects it. The Gemara says, no, I'm a Rabbi Osi. Mifnei ma ochle adam osim en sevain le adam. Shekein sevei adam. Yesh lohem kedusha. Na sevei ochle matzavan lehema utzvain lebehema. Ain aleihem kiddusha, and then the Gemara comes up, and this is why we're really going to have to zero in on this as we go on. But now the Gemara says something. What does the Gemara say? The Gemara says takes a completely different conceptual path. What does it say? Die. The word is die. Die. Right. So he says, right. What's the argument? He says, it's listen. Here's how it works. Human beings, when they make a dye, the dye gets kedusha, whatever kedusha is. We're going to have to analyze it. We're going to hold on. I'm just saying, we're going to hold off on kedusha shviit, what exactly it means, till the end of halacha bet. Okay? I'm just telling you now, right? Because for now, the only thing we know kedusha shviit means is that something is designated for the proper consumption of shemitah, right? The end of halacha bet is going to get to the question of, does it mean actual kedusha, right? That's the last sugya in halacha bet. So just hold on, okay? That's where the Gemara is going to deal with the question: are you allowed to use kedusha shvi'it in a way that you're going to make it tame? Where we seem to really sharpen the question of what does the word kedusha mean in this context? Okay, so we're going to hold off till halacha bet. How do we know? Yeah. How do we know? Come on. So look at the B'nai Moshe, right? And this is why I wanted to go through Allah Aleph, because look at the B'nai Moshe. What does the B'nai Moshe say? D'lo damya d'im amar ba'ochle adam shehutru litzaba la'adam l'sevel adam shekein sive adam yesh lan kedusha shviyeh d'chala aleihen. Tomar shenasa ochle b'emel tzeve v'hema v'arei tzeve v'emel lochala kedusha shviyeh g'dam rin le'al sham. So what does he say? Right, meaning, but what is he really saying? Meaning, what he's getting at is like this. Saying, listen, there's a complicated relationship here between what? Right? Kedusha Shviyeh for this purpose so far means the status that inheres in something that requires you to utilize it for the proper purposes, right? Said, once something is made into a sefa, right? Made from Be'er Shviyeh, it gets Kedusha Shviyeh. What does that show?
It shows that once it has a proper purpose, the Kedusha
Shviyeh pertains to it. So you need to use it in the proper way. Exactly, right? There's almost a cyclical, right? There's a relationship, which is when I make it into dye, it becomes kadosh, meaning I become obligated to only use it for that purpose and not destroy it. What does that show? That this status is inherent, meaning the fact that it can be used for dye is what allows me to get into dye. The fact that once it's dyed, it's kadosh b'kedusha shviyeh is what is machayev me to use it in that way. Right? Meaning because there is this relationship between kedushat shviyeh, right, which obligates you to consume it in the proper way, right, and the mitzvah to consume it, right, those are, right, so that which has the power to create Kedushat Shvi'it, which will now obligate you to consume it in the proper way, the reason it's mutter for you to make it into tzeva is because it will gain that status, right? Right? So he says, he says, since tzeva is so high up on the hierarchy, that not only is it mutter to use as a tzeva, but what? Making it into a tzeva will create a chiyuv to now use it as a dime. Right? Because that will now have defined it as that which will find its maximization, right, is maximizing use, its optimal, right, its optimized, its optimization in dying, right? That's what creates the heter, right? Because tzeva for a person is so recognized that once I, right, once I make it to dying, I am now going to be bound by that decision, right? I'm going to have to, however you understand the mitzvah, right, maximize its utility through tzeva. So therefore, that obligation, right, that which is going to bind me, makes it mutter to begin with, right? Because it's not a degradation of the produce to turn into a tzeva, because by doing that, I'm binding myself to a particular way of maximizing its utility, right? But he says, maybe Ochle Behema, right? Maybe he says, listen, dies for an animal is so low on the hierarchy that what is gonna, what will fail to happen when you make it? It'll fail to become kadosh. Meaning, it's so low on the hierarchy that when I make it, it can't possibly gain a status that would obligate me to utilize it in this way, because it's so many steps removed, right, from that top of that, right, hierarchy. It can't bind me. And if it can't bind me, but what can bind me? But what's Gemara saying? When it's macho behema, am I bound? Is there a certain level of kedusha, whatever kedusha is? Yes. What is the level of kedusha? It forces me to make sure the animal eats it and not destroy it. I know, it's huge. That dog. It's gone. It's gone. It went up the stairs. It's gone. It was owned. Someone was walking it, so. So what's the Gemara saying? Gemara is saying, listen, animal food, right? Human food as food, does it bind you to maximize its utility as food? Yes. So as kedusha shvi'it. Human dye, right? Dye is going to be used for human clothing. Does that have to do with shvi'it in the sense that once you make it into dye, it binds you to maximize its utility? Yes. Animal food, does it bind you to maximize its utility using it as animal food?
Yes.
But if animal dye is low enough that it might just fail to bind you, and it fails to bind you, then what does that show? That I'm removing it from kedusha, right? Again, whatever kedusha means, at the very least it means that status which obligates you to maximize the utility of kedusha to you, right? And therefore, he says, it might be that dafka tzeva for an animal is so low on the hierarchy that it fails to, right, it fails to bind you. And by failing to bind you, right, because it doesn't have kedusha, it's usher to get to that state. Because what you've done is you've removed it, right? That's like the ultimate vital of kedusha shviyah, which is removing it from a state in which you are bound to maximize its utility, and moving it to a situation in which you no longer have that obligation, right?
So you're using it in a way that doesn't
Well, that's exactly what you can't do. That's what its point is that it could just be that, look, Michael Behemoth is already lower on the thing, and at some level, right, it's going to fail to bind you, and to push something to the point where it fails to bind you is problematic. All right,
so in a hypothetical where you have done this, are you still obligated to use it as a normal die?
No. Say it again?
If you have hypothetically done this wrong thing and turned it into
lost its distribution.
Has it lost its distribution entirely?
Yeah.
Just say it one more time.
If hypothetically you do this wrong thing and you turn this animal fluid into an animal diet.
So according to the Gemara, it probably would not be kadosh. That's the problem. Or the Gemara seems to assume that. Now, there is something here that is very problematic. How many of you look for a second at the footnote?
I look for a second. Textual changes.
This is not a textual change. Here, this is not a textual change.
This is perfect.
So here, the main issue is not the right here. The main issue that I'm worried about is not a textual change. Is a straight up contradiction, right? Straight up contradiction. If you look, okay, again, I don't know what you have in the English, right? Yeah, do you want to pass me the English for a second just so I can see if it has it? Ah, yeah, okay, so no. It doesn't have it. Yeah, so here,
kind of has it.
Yeah, it hints at it, right? But basically, right, this is problematic because what is the working assumption of our Gemara? That what definitely does have kedusha?
Animal food.
Animal food, human food, and human dogs. Yeah. Right, that's the assumption of this whole sugya, right? However, the Gemara on Nunbet, Amudbet, right? Look, turn for a second. What? Nunbet. Look at Nunbet. Right at the beginning of the Gemara, right? Like I said, the 7th and 8th parak are very linked, right? So look at the beginning of the Gemara there. See? Right, there's a Mishnah, and then the Gemara starts, right? In the middle of the page. Got it? Right, smack in the middle. Yeah? Yeah. Where it starts tomorrow. What is the Gemara's first question? Mao she hei alehen kedushat shvi'it. Right? Do dies have kedushat shvi'it? Right? And what does the Gemara say? Nishminim in adah lochem kol sheu tzorech lochem. Right? Everything that's for you. Right? V'tani Yalak, you're going to achila shtia sicha utzviya. Yatza milugma she'ena ela chulun yatza linden she'ena ela letapilin. Okay? Very good. Right, so what is the Gemara? Right, so now it is possible, right, that it wasn't that this Gemara was taking it as obvious, right? It was that within that possibility, or it was assuming a certain conclusion. Right? That's why this first. No, Hanami. Right? Now, so Tzeva is not such a big deal. What is it? What is a straight contradiction? Malugma. Because in the Gemara on Nunbet, what is it? Very clear. It's not. Right, meaning Tzeva, the Gemara there at least concludes that Tzeva does have kedushat shviyit. So, okay, fine. So our Gemara takes it as a given. But maybe it takes it as a given because it's concluding that. I mean, who cares, right? That's fine, right? Right, but Malugma is a problem, right? Because our Gemara assumes that... Right, so our Gemara assumes that Malugma is kadosh. And the Gemara on Nunbet is very clear that it's not kadosh, right? Right. Even the things which are omid lugma or not are not. So here things get very fancy. Do you want me to throw out some possibilities?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I will. What? What? Okay. I will give you the. I'll read it to you as the article summarizes it. Okay. Here's their summary. I don't know if you have it.
Yes.
But this is. But listen to this formulation. Okay. They write. Hezber of Shari Lakachu. The Gemara only compares tsefa and malugma for the purpose of the importance of the usage. The haini. Shimushu maspik chashuv legabei dini shvi. A usage which is significant enough for the purpose of Shemitah, to put kedusha on a plant which is used for it, ra'ui mipad chashivuto shenitan yeh lazot shimush deh gam peirot haruim lamachal. It's something which is significant enough that it could get kedusha tviyit, is important enough that fruit for tviyit could be used for it, even though those fruit can also be used for food. V'lo yechashev gehefsed peirot tviyit, and it won't be counted as a loss. V'im eino maspik chashuv kedei lachil alav kedusha tviyit, and it's not significant enough to warrant becoming kadosh, harei sheshimush zeh beperot tviyit yechashev hefsed, it's then usage like that is called loss. V'inei asugya kam sover tishimush refuah nechshav shimush chashuv. Our sugya assumes that medicinal usages are important. Enough, agorem lachil kedusha tviyit, shotemach miyukad lakach. Enough that something which is meant for medicine would become kadosh. Im kein, mipad chashivuto, vadai nitan ayosot shimush refuah beperim lachal. And therefore, from the vantage point of significance, it could be used for food, even by, you could use food for medicinal purposes. Achatam she'ein lazut shimush zeh b'machal adam, who, what's the reason not to use animal, human food for it? Mishum shu shimush she'eino shava l'chol nefesh, el rak l'cholim. So, here's what he says, okay? And this is based on the Ziv Hayam, which I did look up, but the Ziv Hayam is even longer, right? Is that there are two qualities that you need. One is a usage significant? If it's significant, it can become kadosh. But that's not enough to say that it's mutter to use, right? According to this, in order for it to be kadosh, which is the assumption of this Gemara, it needs to be chashuv. Is medicine chashuv? Yes. But are you actually allowed to use it? No, because in order, right, so according to this, to get kedusha tviyit, you need to be significant. To permit using it for a purpose, it needs to be a significant purpose, and it needs to be shavel chalada, something that by all people and not just a subcategory of people like sick people. Right, and therefore, the Gemara here is saying it is kadosh, right? The fact that it's used for medicine is enough to make something kadosh because it's a significant usage. But you can't actually use that which can be used for food for medicine because... meaning, right, this is the catch-22. Is if it's not a significant use at all, then something shouldn't become kadosh if it's used for that. Right, and what they're suggesting based on the Ziv Hayam is that no, medicinal uses are chashuv, and therefore, something which could be used for medicine will become kadosh. But you still can't use it for medicine if it could also be used for human food because it has two factors: one is it's chashuv, and the other is it's shavel chalada. Right, hold that thought for a little bit because. What I want, right, again, this is going to come up more, even more in the second halacha when we define, right, all these expansions from achila, right? And like I said, even before we do halacha bet, when we finish this, we're going to look for a second at the Bavli, which deals with the stira and the gemaras between whether wood is kadosh or not kadosh. Okay? And probably what I'll do is when we finish the Sol Sigya, I will quickly summarize for you, because I don't think, unless you guys disagree, do you guys want to spend a long time trying to figure out whether whether flowers are kadosh? It's a huge sigya. It's a very complicated sigya. Whether flowers
are
kadosh. Right? Like that. Well, we'll see when we get to the end of the sigya. Okay, you don't have to say that. Okay. But that's one possibility. We'll see more as we flush it out. Okay, so then the Gemara says, Notin alav chumre adam v'chumre behema. We put the stringencies of humans and animals. So the Gemara says, Nicha chumre adam. I understand what it means that something is a stringency of a person chumra. What does that mean? It must be used for food or for tsevav adam, right? We've seen all these chumras. Anything which is human food, right? There's a host of chumras, right? But how could the Gemara say the things that are ambiguous, right, whether they're my father, my own, you put the chumras of animals and people. So far, we haven't seen any chumras for animals, right? The chumra behema. So the Gemara says, no. What's the chumra? She'asur lisholkan. What's the chumra? To cook them. Shulkan means to cook. You can't cook them. Right, so shulkan usually means to cook. Now, someone want to explain that to me? Right? Someone want to explain this to me? This is a problem, right?
Cooking loses part of it. When you cook, you lose part of it. And animals don't care if it's raw or cooked.
Okay, right. So, right? Right, so the first thing that you see is that, right, what is this based on? The fact that, right, what's one of the rules of Shemitah? Come on.
One of the rules of Shemitah,
maximizing. It's not just maximizing. So now we learn another rule. It's not just maximizing. Right, there's another factor here to maximizing, and that is?
Not losing.
Is maximizing. No, hold that. We're going to see that. You're right, according to some Shemitah. But one of the things is that it also, maximizing specifically is defined as eating something in the way that's normal, right? So humans cook their food, some people, unless you are a biotic vegan, in which case you don't. That's what, right, that was what I meant. No, I had a friend once who had this thing for a while that he, not only was he a vegan, but he also didn't have anything that had been cooked above like, essentially yatzoledipo, right? Like, no, everything was raw. He lived in like raw almonds, like not even roasted almonds, and bananas. I mean, it was, the only exception was Shabbos, where he would have bread, right, just to wash. What? No, almonds, bananas, apples, oranges, more bananas, more almonds, more peanuts, I don't know. He didn't need much. He didn't need much.
What was his reasoning behind?
Health? It's okay. He ended up going to a yeshiva where the Rosh Yeshiva has a very strong personality, and force fed him meat, and that was the end of that. Anyways.
Force fed him meat?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways. Tell you that. Okay. I wouldn't do that to anybody. I'm also a vegetarian. I'm not going to be the one forcing you to be. But in general, I'm not going to force feed you anything because A, it's terrible. B, I do not need a lawsuit, right?
Why
don't you like me? No. You're afraid to have me, but I'm not going to force feed you. Right? I know this is always like the kasher. It's like, oh, what are you going to do, Karban Pesach? And I'm like, I'm going to eat it. Can we move on? Right? I mean, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I do, there are many things I do that I don't like doing. I'm not handy, but sometimes I actually have to, like, work on my sukkah, you know? Okay! You know, I do things. What? Not particularly. No, you have to gazai it and make sure that it's eaten. Remember we said the difference between... No.
No,
Kobe, we did this this week. There's eating. I told you to listen to the regarding. The mitzvah from Karbanos, that there's a tzvei dinim. There's eating it and making sure it's eaten. So I'd have to have a kizayit and make sure that I have enough people in my group who eat it. And it's good. Ora really likes sheep. Ora really likes lamb. It's very simple. Ora really likes lamb. You're assuming you're all invited into my chabura. Why are you assuming this? But my wife likes lamb. Right, okay. What? Have you read, do you know Masechet Pesachim? Have you done Daf Kuftet yet? Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, Zman Shebeit HaMikdash Haya Kayam, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar, V'Achshav She'en Bein HaMikdash, there's no Bav. Achshav She'en Bein HaMikdash Kayam, Ein Simcha Ela B'Yayin, because Basar in that context means Basar Ha Karbanot. What? But I do like wine, so very easy. No, that is a phrase. Well, if you get joy from it, that's different, right? Because there is the subjective element to it, but the objective need for basar in particular, right, according to Yehuda, is basar karbana. If you enjoy it, that's a different story. Because then you're, but that's part of the same sugya where the Gemara says, okay, for men, it's basar v'yayin, and for women, it's new clothes, and for kids, it's candy. What? Whatever. It is Gemara. Do you know that I got married on Gimel Sivan? Okay? So if you're following the calendar. What? Justin for Shavuos, which is Vav Sivan, right? Rabbi Friedman didn't make it to my wedding. It's fine, right? It was in Toronto. But he called me on like first or second day of Shavuot Bracha to wish me Mazel Tov. And Kedarka Bakodesh, he asked me right away, but don't, I hope you know you're chayav because of the Gemara to buy Ora new clothes for the holiday. Did you remember? I'm like, you know I got married yesterday, right? Like, right? He's like, okay. Fine, we'll assume that you've brought enough joy to your wife for Yom Tov by getting married, but don't forget for the next one. This is like how Rav Friedman works. He's a very, you know, I love Rav Friedman. But yes, he told me that on, like, the day after I got married. You can't. You really can't. Fine. The Gemara says that you can't cook, right? So you can't cook it because... Now someone asked me a question, right? So it's clear the basic svara here is the reason you can't cook it is because, right? So look at the, right, is because we are now learning a new halacha here, which is we've already learned you can't destroy, right? But now what we learned is that destroying doesn't necessarily mean destroying. What does it mean? No, it means changing it in a way that it's not going to be consumed in the normal way. Meaning normally, is cooking considered a destruction of food? No. It's only because by animals. So look at the gra, for example. Look at the gra, asr l'sholkan. Mishum de'ein derech l'shlog ochle behema l'chein heve ibur. Right? Since it's not normal to cook animal food, and therefore it's considered destruction. Which means you learn something. Again, I told you, all I want to do is I'll just read through it carefully, because I don't think you're getting earth-shattering chidushim. What you're getting is a slow, right, sharpening of the idea that we've seen. There's an obligation to maximize utility and to not destroy it. And now you learn that one of the things that's called destruction isn't just objective destruction. It's doing something to it that is not normally done to this. Even though cooking is normally considered a benefit, right, since animals don't like their food cooked or need their food cooked, cooking it for animals makes it worse, right? Now, there is a machlokas, however. What if something that's ra'oi for animals Right? Remember, the Gemara here is talking about something which is lo miuchad, lo malach al adam, lo lamachil behema. Right? Right? It could go either way. Remember? Right? That's the stage we are in the Mishnah. That's why we give it the chomer adam and chomer behema. Well, here's the problem. If we're dealing with something that could go either way, it could either be used as human food or animal food. Ah, so it's clear you can't cook it if you want to use it for animals. But what if, can you cook it to use it for human beings? What do you think? What's the simple read of the Gemara?
No.
No, because that's exactly what the Gemara is saying, is no dinah lav chumre adam or chumre behema.
All right.
Right? Because right? Now that is... Right? Now that is crazy. Right? Why is that crazy, Gabi? Oh, right? Because that's what we just said, that cooking for a person is maximizing utility. Right? Making for a person is maximizing utility. And if he wants to cook, you're treating his Michael Adam. Right? So how would you get out of this diuk? Because this diuk is quite surprising. How would you get out of this diuk?
It's talking about when you're using it for an animal, even if it doesn't have fruit. If you were to use it for an animal, you have to add the stringencies of an animal. When you want to use it for a human,
right, so that's what you would have to say, right? So if you look at, right, he says, you can't cook it for a person if, what did you do first? Designated for an animal. So yes, right? So according to the Rosh Aurelio, it is true that you're not allowed to cook it even for a person, but not, that's only after you designated it as animal food. Because now, since you've designated it as animal food and you've chosen that path, so to cook it, even if you changed your mind and made it for a person, the Rosh Aurelio says you can't do that. Right? Because, but you at least need to say something like that, because otherwise... Correct, because you might have thought that no, if it's animal food, but now a person wants to come and use it, so that's only elevating. And the answer is, okay, you've given it a status, and now within that context, cooking it is, right, is abnormal. Right now, yeah, so not everybody agrees to this, right? Right, and some, like the Chazon Ish, says, no, that can't be. That's crazy. Right, that's crazy. Why is that crazy? What's his argument? He says, very simple, listen. We know, are you allowed to use, even when something is designated as animal food, are you allowed to use it for people? Yeah, what do we call that? Malugma, remember? You're allowed to take animal food and use it for malukma for an adam, which means that you are allowed to switch something from being for an animal to adam. And if you can switch it, something which is really not edible for people, you can switch it to malukma for adam, so then something which is potentially human food, obviously you can change it to maichal adam. So what does the Chazon Ish say? What's the only time you can't cook it? When you're actually giving it to an animal. It doesn't mean that it has a permanent chumra, right? So you have a machloket here, right? The Rosh Aurelio, right? The Chazon Ish basically said there's no such thing as a status of Michael Behema. If you're actually feeding it to an animal, then what do we mean we give you the chumra? When you're giving it to the animal, you can't cook it, right? That's all it means, right? Because giving it to an animal and cooking it is abnormal, and you're not allowed to do things abnormally. But if you want to give it to a person, that is obviously an elevation of status. Right, the Rosh Aurelio says, no. There is such a thing as a status of Michael Behema. And the second he defines Michael Behema, even if a person then wants to eat it, you can't cook it. Why? Because you've given it a status of Michael Behema. You see, right? You see this machlokas, right? According to Rosh Aurelio, this ambiguous thing, once you give it a, right? What's the, okay, I see that, okay. Let me just make this point, right? What seems to be machlokas Rosh Aurelio in the Chazon Ish? Which is these ambiguous statuses, right? These things that have dual status, are you forced to choose or not? Right? According to the Rosh Aurelio, it can go either way, but But right, or is the choice permanent? According to Rosh Terilio, the choice is permanent, right? And what it means, Nozon Chumrei is once you give it a status, you got to live with that choice, right? What does the Chazon Ish think it means? No, it has a dual status. And what does it mean? Nozon Chumrei Adam Chumrei Behema is when you choose to use it, you need to. But you can't mix and match within that, right? Meaning, if you're actually giving to an animal, you can't cook it. If you're giving to a person, you can't. It's not like you're giving it a status. What is it? Right? The Chazon Ish doesn't think you're giving it a status. What it means is, it's not a permanent status. It's just that in the way you choose to use it, you have to use it according to the proper standards. Right? Now, the problem is that it doesn't really sound like chumrei, right? It's hard to, right? The Rosh Hashanah definitely works better just in the language, I think, in the sense that a real chumrah emerges, right? A Chazon Ish is not really a chumrah, it's just saying, whatever you choose to use it, use it in the proper way. Whatever, have to, again. Oh yes, that's for sure. Too. Yes, that's true.
Once you do,
then you can't feed the travel. Yeah, that is true. That everyone agrees.
Seems really weird.
Okay, fine. Good. Shkoyach, guys. Like I said, this halacha is very important.